Praise God. It is well with my soul this morning. I want to be able to share a little bit about that this morning. And I'm thankful that we're all here today, and we're praying that God would be uplifted and that the name of Jesus Christ would be proclaimed. We ask that we continue to think about Brother Martin and Sister Sandy and their preaching in Winter Garden, Florida, and that they would be blessed. He has preached Friday, Saturday, and now this morning. So he's been very active in services down there, and I know that the Lord has blessed him. Today I want to talk a little bit about hope. About a year ago, on 20th of September, 21, I just had cancer surgery, prostate surgery on the 10th. And my life was kind of dark at that time in terms of what was going on, and it was a very troubling time. But 10 days after my surgery, the Lord allowed me to speak here, and I spoke on hope. And Brother Todd and I, we needed that sermon that day, and I believe it was a dark time for each of us. And a year later, I believe we're all stronger. The passage of Scripture I spoke on that day was Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." That's what we need, brothers and sisters, a tree of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need hope. I'm not wanting to share things that are going bad in this world today. We have enough of that. We don't need to talk about that. But we need something to feed our new nature, our new man inside that's created in Christ Jesus. And so I want to speak on a subject that might seem kind of strange, connecting leprosy and the remnant. The leprosy of a passage of Scripture in Luke, and then the chapter of Revelation 12. There's a sense in which all of us are lepers. All of us have spiritual leprosy in our depravity, in our old nature. And so there's a story in the Bible that's very special to me of when Jesus healed 10 lepers. And so I want us, first of all, to think about the fact that when we are conceived in this life, in our mother's womb, and through the action of a father, we are formed with a depravity, and we already are born in this world, so to speak, with leprosy. All right. And that leprosy in the past has been quite, devastating to many people, where the flesh is sick and rotting, and in Jesus' day they had to be put away in a colony, and no one wanted to have them be amongst the general population. When I was flying for the airlines, I visited India, and I saw some of this firsthand, so I've seen a little bit about that. But I'm not talking about physical leprosy, I'm talking about spiritual leprosy, in that we have this condition called the old nature, and Paul says that it's the flesh, and it's corrupt, and it can't do anything pleasing to God. But yet our leprosy side of us in our old nature tries to do something pleasing to God, and it's not acceptable to God, for he has to come and born us again with a new nature. But in this passage of Scripture that I want to read about, in Luke 17, 11 through 37, we're talking about 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus Christ of physical leprosy. 9 of them went away and never came back to praise Jesus, but one of them came back and worshiped Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to be that one leper that thanks Jesus for giving us a new nature and giving us life everlasting. We need to be that. And I believe that one leper represents a remnant. In the Bible, we taught that Israel was a remnant. It was the smallest of all nations. And then it talks about the tribe of Levi as one out of the 12 tribes, a remnant. Then it talks about Aaron being a remnant family to be the priesthood. So the remnant is taught throughout the Bible. The question is, are we that one leper that comes back to thank Jesus Christ for what he has done? Okay, there's a beautiful passages of scripture where when someone is healed of leprosy, they are to do something according to the law. They're to present themselves to the priest and they take two birds. And the priest would take one bird and put that bird in an earthen vessel and kill that bird. And its blood then would be in that bowl. And then he would take the other bird and dip him in that blood and then let the bird go and fly away. Brothers and sisters, that's what we are. We have been, Jesus Christ is that bird that was killed. Jesus Christ was the one who bore our sin nature, and 3 hours of darkness he was made to be something he wasn't. And then he borns us again and washes us in his blood when we're regenerated or born again and lets us free. So that remnant, 1 out of 10, is kind of indicative of where we are in the world. Most of God's children that are going to heaven don't know anything about the gospel. But nevertheless, God knows them. That's one of the things that I love about what we believe, is that the problem is us not knowing God is not the problem. Is in terms of, because otherwise our old nature will try to fill in that gap and try to prove that he is a child of God. But the question is whether he knows us. And he knows a lot of people in every land, every religion. It doesn't matter what religion we are in, denominationally wise. Doesn't matter if we're Hindus, Buddhists, or Muslims, or whatever. The question is, does the Lord know us? And he can write his laws in our hearts. And he can write his laws in the hearts of a baby that's 1 cell old and dies in the womb. So that's how big our God is. And I'm thankful this morning that the beginning of healing, in the case of these 10 lepers, they were already children of God. I really believe that Christ only healed his children. All right? So we know these 10 are his children. And he healed them of physical leprosy, but I want to get the spiritual meaning of this and then relate that one person who came back to Revelation 12. And we'll read a passage of perhaps the whole chapter where we talk about the remnant again. All right? So let's look at Luke 17, 11 through 37. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he, Jesus being that, passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that amazing? They had leprosy. He says, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, the leprosy fell away. So these are children of God. We as children of God need to see our own leprosy in our hearts of old nature. We need to see our depravity and need of God. And then it says in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, so he's going to the priest. And during that time, all 10 of them, and during that time, the leprosy left. 9 of them didn't come back to thank Jesus. Many of us in this world are healed by God in terms of our spiritual leprosy and given eternal life. And we learn about many doctrines of men that tell us that, well, we did something. We must have participated or whatever. But that's not true. Jesus heals us of our spiritual leprosy on his own when we're dead in trespasses and sins. We don't even know him. And then he gives us new birth. So the one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Isn't that what we need? We need to fall on our face and thank the Lord that he has healed us and given us a new life. And that he started that life, that we didn't do anything in religious circles to get it. And then it says, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But there, where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I believe that that's what we need when we realize that we have a need of the Lord, that we thank him and praise him for giving us life. And that it says, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was a different man. Obviously, they went, all 10 went, presented themselves to the priest and gave that sacrifice and were declared clean. And then they could be amongst the people again. So in verse 20, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's another subject in itself, because we have many people today thinking that there's a kingdom out there in the future that's going to come. It's already here. It's here in the church, the bride of Christ, and it's also in our personal bodies, in the new nature. So we need to keep that in mind when we're thinking that the kingdom of God, in many religious circles, puts the kingdom out there in the future after a great tribulation and after much heartache and everything on earth. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because there are some hard times coming. But don't think the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ is way out in the future. It's been here for 2,000 years already. He's already ruled and reigned. And he is ruling and reigning now at the right hand of the Father. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Jesus was only going to be there a little bit longer. He's about to be crucified and bear the sins of his people. And he's saying that I'm not going to always be here. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteth out of the one part of heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will be the eagles be gathered together. I believe there are three very important destructions that occur, that will have occurred by the time the Lord comes back. The first was the flood. The second was the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem. And this passage of scripture refers to that. The Lord said, when you see the abomination of desolation in the tabernacle, to flee to the hills of Judea. But not everybody did that. So one was taken and one was left. All right? Many religious circles refer to this as a rapture, but it's not the rapture. All right? The 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem was a time of great trouble. Titus, the Roman general, came into that and barricaded Jerusalem, and people were without food, and they some resorted to cannibalism and ate each other. It was a terrible time. There had not been, for 400 years, there had not been a prophet since Malachi prior to Jesus being on the earth. So it was a very dark time. Brothers and sisters, prior to Jesus Christ coming back again, I believe it's going to be a dark time, and I want to talk about that in Revelation 12. The reason why I continue after the lepers here, we were talking about lepers at the beginning, now we're transitioning to a different subject matter about the Son of Man, and I want to try to bridge the gap between the leprosy and being a remnant, which we are to be when we worship God in spirit and truth. We're a leper that returns and thanks the Lord for healing us. Not all lepers will return. There are many of God's children in every denomination. It doesn't matter what you call that denomination. If that denomination proclaims that you got to do something to get born again, then it's not of the truth.
That's right.
Now, but nevertheless, God can love that person in every one of those religions, because religions of the old nature. That's what the old nature does. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to exalt yourself like he wants to be exalted and deny Jesus Christ. So at best, I believe when we're in that condition, born again, we have love in our heart for our fellow man. We're like that one of those nine lepers that goes his way and doesn't come back. In 1980, I learned about the truth, about how God saved his people. I was an engineer in Oklahoma City, and I had been praying all my life and raised up as a Southern Baptist and taught I had to do something to get born again. So every once in a while I would pray a prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. And it was like started at 5 years old, 4 years old, and then 8, 12, 16. Every 4 years I was worried about how I was going to go get to heaven by doing something. That's what I was taught. I had never heard election, never heard predestination, never heard that God chose his people before the foundations of the world, and the covenant of grace was made by the Godhead between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Never heard that. So I prayed, Jesus. I had a broken and contrite heart, saying, Jesus, please, I don't want to go to hell. I remember crying as a child and going to sleep with tears on my eyes thinking I was on my way to hell, because that's what I was taught. You got to know when you gave your life to Christ. You got to know the exact time. And I now since have understood that, wow, if I had to know that, then I say you need to know when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Or it didn't happen. See, the absurdity of that. We don't exist before we exist. We have a man has a seed that's put in a woman to manifest that life, and you got to have a man and a woman to do that. All right? And then the life comes. The life that exists does not ask to exist. We are passive in that. We don't participate. Physical conception is between our mom and dad, between our dad specifically for life and then our mom. So what is the spiritual significance of that? We don't participate in our spiritual life starting either. We can't. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Part of our being a leper is our seeing that, having that leprosy delivered from us, I believe, is seeing that truth. So in 1980, I failed my flight physical and went to Oklahoma City during the hottest time on record for 2 months straight. It was 100 degrees. I really thought I'd died and gone to the bad side. And I'm used to the woods, or like growing up in the woods, and now I'm going to a land that just seems so foreign to me. Nevertheless, I worked in a building in a system that had 16,000 employees, and we overhauled jet engines and aircraft. And God had an appointment. 16,000 people, and He had an appointment for me. And the question that I had on my heart, where it said, when I said, "Lord, please show me when I was saved," was not even the right question. The right question is how. I think the Lord very much that He doesn't require us to ask the right question. He looks on the heart and He sees the brokenness. And He said, "I'm going to answer that young man, but I'm going to send him to a land that he doesn't really want to go to." And a month after an old Primitive Baptist preacher was ordained, Brother Bill Caraway, he met me in the hall. And I immediately knew that this man was a man of God. And, I mean, we like connected quickly. And I said, "Bill, I don't know when I was saved. I can't get it right." And he said, "Michael, it doesn't matter, and you'll never know." And it was like a light bulb went on in my head. And it's like a conversion. It's sort of like Saul of Tarsus having a bright light shine. I knew that was the answer, but I didn't know much about what he was talking about. And he taught me for 2.5 years about the doctrines of grace. He taught me about that foundation. All right, that rock foundation. Most of us in religious circles, we have a sandy soil foundation, and it's shifting, right? It depends. I mean, well, one day you might have to be baptized. One day you might have to join a church. One day you might have to give offerings or whatever. The religions, you can have many different things that appeal to our flesh. None of it saves you. None of it. And I'll say this, Jesus Christ was never, ever married but to one woman. Think on that. He can't be married to every woman. He would be a whoremonger. What does that mean? That means that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, which means that Jesus Christ is married to one bride. We are the bride of Christ who worship Him in spirit and truth and know how He saves His people from their sins. Okay? That doesn't mean that God doesn't have His children in every religion. Even amongst Hindu land, Buddha land, it don't matter. Even amongst cannibals. I've talked with people who grew up with cannibals as missionaries. And the stories that they tell me about how God reached down and saved those people, it blows me away. But what we have when we see the truth, when He said it doesn't matter and you'll never know, and talked to me about Jesus Christ, He showed me a concrete foundation, a rock foundation. But then the second portion of that is, how many of us live on a concrete foundation? I mean, you could put a tent on a foundation, but it wouldn't be a very secure and good place to live. We need to have a house built, right? And the Lord says that unless the Lord buildeth the house, he that buildeth it labor in vain. So we need a carpenter. We need a contractor, and that contractor is Jesus Christ, and He'll build the house. Religion, after even we hear predestination and election, they'll say, "Well, you can do all things. You can do, name it and claim it." And we get wrapped up into the idea that we can do something again. Okay, I get it. We can't choose ourselves. And then we start making rules and regulations for ourselves. We start living under law and make personal laws. And next thing you know, we have taken the grace of God choosing His children, and then we step right in and we start working again to build our own house. And it's not a very good house. It's a shoddy house. If we build a house according to our goodness, it's a leprosy house. All right? So when I left there, Oklahoma, after 2.5 years and went to be a fighter pilot and all the different flying and being all over the world and seeing God's children, I was amazed at how God has his children everywhere. And I talked with people, it don't matter, Catholics, Muslims, Southern Baptists, Presbyterian, Methodists, it don't matter. I love all people. It doesn't matter what religion that we come up with. The point is, do you have something in your heart saying that I believe in Jesus Christ and that he saved me and that he did it on his own? He healed me of leprosy. All right? So then we follow the Lord when we understand spirit and truth worship. We follow the Lord in baptism, which is a marriage ceremony. All right? Meaning that you want to be married to Jesus Christ. And all the different members of the bride of Christ make up a church that's a local body. See, we are the only organization that is uniquely local. We don't have a centralization somewhere. We don't have a government somewhere telling. We are individual. We are a true democracy. We are individual here. And that's the way the Lord's church is supposed to be, with Christ being the head. And we're the wife. And then underneath our children, even in the home, it's pictured that way. And what is the purpose of us as women in terms of the feminine gender in terms of the church? Is to feed God's children that he made. We don't go make children. We don't tell people to say a sinner's prayer and get saved. We believe in our heart, if you find somebody that truly is broken over their sinfulness, they're already born again. I used to wonder, you know, you go to a Billy Graham crusade and he gives an invitation and people go up and there's a prayer said and then he gives them some materials and it's like, well, did they get saved there eternally? No. I believe they were saved before they even went to the crusade. Man loves to take credit. And that's a leprosy. We've got to get away from that, brothers and sisters. A leprosy when we declare that we can do something, then we're wrong. And by the way, a woman that tries to say that she can give life is not a good church to be in. What do I mean? A lot of churches and denominations today say if you do this, this, and this, you get born again. Well, that's a woman giving life. It's impossible. Can't happen. So we need to worship where we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He is the one that gives life. We can't start, religions can't start life. Okay. So 15 years later, I think about this, but all I have is a foundation. That's all. And then I lost my job at the airline, Delta Airlines, and then I felt like, you know what? I've known this foundational truth for many years. I think it's time to be serious. And I got baptized at Crossroads, Atlanta. I asked the man that shared with me 15 years earlier, and I kept up with him over the 15 years, called him while I was all over the world and asked him questions. And he came and baptized me. And that was such a wonderful time. That was a marriage ceremony where I said, you know what? I believe you were the one that gave me life. And I believe that you are the foundation. You are the rock. Not Peter, but you are the rock. And that began a life of going a little bit further into being delivered, I believe, from my leprosy. Remember, I think leprosy is probably like cancer. It can return, right? And right now I'm fighting cancer and I'm hoping that it's gone, but I don't know that. And I don't even want to think about it, quite honestly. Many of us face that. But we have the tendency in our old nature to go right back into leprosy and thinking that we can do something to get something. And that's probably what's the biggest problem of all. Never ever think you can get anything from God by what you do. All right? And that's what religion teaches you. Do this, you get this. No. Our job is to go fall on our face and thank Jesus for saving us and for delivering us. That's our job. To live by faith, which worketh by love. 15 years later, 1995 now, I get baptized. 7 years later, in 2002, a man comes to Dallas Primitive Baptist Church who knew Bill Caraway. And Bill Caraway and Brother Don Ferris and myself all worked in the same building. And my wife taught in the school that Don Ferris and his wife grew up in. Now put those things together. Four things happened. It's impossible. Three men knew the same, knew each other, worked in the same building, and my wife taught in that school that Don Ferris. So what did Brother Don Ferris teach me? He taught me through the Spirit of God the proper way to have a carpenter build a house and the warfare. I mean, when you cross over the Jordan River in baptism, now the battle begins. Now the giants come, the giants of your flesh. And you face Jericho, and when you face that town and you fight it the way you depending on God, you'll win. But the next little town they lost, Ai, which is a smaller town. So we have a promised land, brothers and sisters, but it's inside. Our promised land's not in the government. Our promised land's not anywhere. We need to go inside versus outside. I don't care what the news says. I don't care how dark it is. Jesus Christ is still sitting on the throne with a right hand of God, and he's ruling and reigning. So I learned a little bit more, and since 2002, 18 years now, 19 years, excuse me, I've been growing. I've been growing because conversion is a perpetual thing. It's not a one-time event. You grow in grace, all right? And I think as you grow up and you learn to share the truth and you participate in exhibiting faith, it really is a pretty good life. It's a life of peace. We rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So now I want to read Revelation 12 with that backdrop, 1 through 17, and see if we can pick out some elements of what I just talked about. Okay? Revelation 12:1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Brethren, I need to, in the interest of time, go on and tell you who this woman is. This woman's not the church. This woman is covenant. Because the covenant began before the foundation of the world. Between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and in the fullness of time, the Word was conceived in flesh and dwelt among us. So, by the way, in the next few verses, we're going to see that this woman gave birth to a child. The church does not give birth to Jesus Christ. No denomination gives birth to Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as the Mother of God. There's no such thing as any woman ever given life. So this can't be a life giver. This is a covenant. Okay? Look at this. It says that she was clothed with the sun. And who's the sun? Jesus Christ. The covenant is clothed with Jesus Christ. And the moon and under her feet. The moon here represents the church. The Old Testament church and the New Testament church. But look what happened to the Old Testament church. That moon turned to blood and crucified Jesus Christ. And then we transitioned to New Testament church. Still a moon there, but it's the New Testament church. But there's an overlap between these two churches. And in 70 AD, Jesus said not one stone would be left on another. That Old Testament church was destroyed. Any religion that tries to recreate sacrifice system and tries to start introducing laws and rules and regulations to get to heaven is an Old Testament revived church. That means we have Old Testament churches still here today. That means we have fruit and vegetable churches like Cain gave fruit and vegetables to the Lord. And what did God say? I don't have any respect for you or your sacrifice. That's what we do in our flesh. We have leprosy that needs to be healed. And then it says, upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. In the Bible, Abram was told that he would have children as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. 12 is ecclesiastical number, as well as the stars are his children. Okay? We, the children of God, are the stars of Jesus Christ. And we are to participate and honor him through the covenant of grace, because in the Old Testament there was a law covenant. Today we don't live under the law anymore. There's a grace covenant. So this woman transitions between Old Testament and New Testament. We just happen to be in the New Testament and look back to what he's done. Okay? And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. How much pain there was 400 years before Jesus came and all the prophets were killed. The covenant of a coming Messiah, and then God's children took the law and made 700 laws out of the Ten Commandments, and they perverted it, and they killed the Son of God. I mean, they put to shame and crucified Jesus Christ. No man killed him. No man. He gave his life. And when he said, "It is finished, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," he gave his life up. No man killed him. He said, "I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to pick it up." But all those years, 1,500 years of the Mosaic Law, it was painful. It was a birth pain. And when Jesus Christ came on, which is this child, then now Jesus Christ the Savior would come and do what's necessary to save his people from their sins. And the angel told Mary, says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is 100% effective in saving all those chosen before the foundational world, and whose names are in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. Jesus, God the Father, the Word, who would later be manifest in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit, already knew us before there was even an Adam and Eve or a physical universe. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that wonderful? But you had to have a covenant come, this woman, and a man come along who's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and be made to be what we are, and then suffer in travail to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Brothers and sisters, in Genesis 3:15, the Lord God said, "The seed of the woman would bruise your head, Satan." The very first preaching sermon was between Adam and Eve, Satan, and the Lord God. Isn't that amazing that we have a serpent in the first church meeting? And he had already tempted Eve, but Eve did not sin. Adam sinned, because the law was given to Adam before she was created and formed. Therefore, Adam fell. Wherefore, by sin, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. We have to keep that in mind. But Satan hates more than anything. That he hates the human race, for number one. If he could unite the human race in total rebellion against God and somehow get away with overthrowing God, he would do it. And I'm going to share with you in a minute things that he's trying to do right now to do that. He wants total rebellion. How does he do that? He has no body. He's one entity at one time, at one place. He's a spiritual being. Anytime we live in our flesh with leprosy and deny God and all, we give him a body. Anytime we abort a baby, anytime we do things that are ungodly and live unrighteously and do things wrong, we give Satan a body to work with. But we're also a body that is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you have the same body? By the way, our bodies don't sin. It's the old nature that uses the body. It's that leprosy side of us that uses our body to sin. It says, whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. So therefore, we got two people inside. That's why we have several stories in the Bible. It talks about Cain, Abel, Esau, Jacob, Ishmael, Isaac, King Saul, King David. Over and over and over again, it says the flesh comes first. The flesh is corrupt. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is an enemy of God. It is Antichrist. We don't have to have one big bad Antichrist coming along one day. And there could be somebody that purports to you know, people in the religious world said, man, this guy, he's probably Antichrist. I don't even look for that. Why? Because we got Antichrist inside. And the only reason he would be ever put up as Antichrist, the big bad Antichrist, is because our flesh wants to see something like that. Why? Because we want Jesus to come back and destroy him and set up a millennial reign. Not going to happen. We want to see Jerusalem rebuilt and the temple rebuilt. Not going to happen. There's a Islamic masterpiece of a building over top of where that was, and I do not. God is finished with natural Israel, and I know many people won't like me saying that. He's transitioned to spiritual Israel. We're spiritual Israel. We're Jews in terms of our we are His children, and we are a small group of the human race. But yet, I believe that God has saved and will house in eternity one day a whole lot of people. Probably more people have died in the womb that'll be in heaven. Why? All those people are going to, all those little babies at one cell, two, four, eight, whatever, that die, they're going to heaven. Why? Because they have no works. And in the great white throne judgment, the non-elect are judged according to their works. Well, they don't have any. I believe in all my heart, this is my belief, that they're in heaven. And there's more people in heaven than you'll, at the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, just like he told Abram. And there's children of God in every religion, every race, kindred, and tongue. In Hinduism, Buddhism. And a lot of people in my past, in my Southern Baptist days, I said, nope, all those people are going to hell. All the Jews are going to hell because they reject Jesus. Really? Okay. Well, that's not true. It's not. And there's no millennial reign out in the future when he's ruling now. And my question I always ask, if he's not ruling now, then what is he doing? It says when he was resurrected and ascended after 40 days on earth that he sat down at the right hand of the Father and he ruled. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Now, this red dragon, we know who that is. That's Satan. Red is a sign of sin. And dragon, by the way, is a sea monster. I say a sea monster because guess what Satan rises up among? Out of the sea. And what is the sea? Amongst the people. Our old nature is a sea. Our old nature loves Satan. Okay? And it says he has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Remember that Satan's objective is a all-out rebellion against God and to overthrow him. In Isaiah 14:12, it says, I will exalt my throne above you, Lord, above God. That's it. And he's going to try to use us as body, his body, and as our old nature as children of darkness to do that. Seven is a complete number. And when you look at the history of the Jewish people, they started out in captivity in Egypt. That wasn't a multinational government. Okay, and the reason why I say that is they haven't even, that pictured being under the control of Pharaoh and Satan. But Jesus Christ used Moses, the great deliverer, who was a Christ type, to deliver them through the Red Sea. All right? But if you go back way before Egypt time, there was a man named Nimrod. And Nimrod was a king in Babel, what we would call modern day Iraq. Little did I know when I was fighting in the Persian Gulf War, I was flying over what used to be Babylon and shooting missiles and all to destroy the enemy. And it's amazing. It's like, wow. And it says that she'll never rise again. So I guess the Lord used our country to take care of that. But anyway, the Nimrod's mom wanted to be God. People said, no, can't be God. Okay, my son's God. Therefore, I'm the mother of God. What did Nimrod do? He was a great hunter of men, and he formed the Tower of Babel, and there was only one language at that time. And he united mankind in an effort to get to go against God, and God confused the languages and spread the people out. So what I'm trying to say, brethren, is these seven heads here hadn't even begun. The first head of the seven, was Syria, which is a multinational country, and that country was kingdom was destroyed. Then Assyria, 185,000 were killed by God, and that entity was destroyed in no time by God. The first one, Syria, was destroyed by God again through Elijah, and 7,000 prophets, remember, our 7,000 hadn't bowed to Baal. And then we had the story that Brother Marty preached on the other day. In other words, Syria, Assyria are the first two kings. They're gone. Third king, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. All right? A multinational entity. Mede Persians, after years of Nebuchadnezzar, I think grandson or something, came along, and the Mede Persians took that country over, and that empire fell. All right, so that one's gone. Later, the Greek Empire fell, came and rose and fell. Then the Roman Empire came, and it split in two legs. And the great Colossus, in, or the great image in Daniel, talks about the head, the chest, and the thighs and the feet. That empire was wounded, and then it split in half with Istanbul, Byzantium, and church came over state. We are still suffering from some of the religious degradation that came out of that unholy union. Okay? And we're going to talk about that in a second. So that empire is gone. All right? So five kings have fallen, one's left. One is to come. That's Satan. Satan will unite the world. As soon as it says that when Jesus Christ, when he defeated him, he put him in chains in a bottomless pit. This world is a bottomless pit. He put a chain on Satan. He bruised his head, and he is not going to allow him to make another kingdom until he looses those chains. Then the one world government is coming, and that is not going to be a good king. Okay, so we have Assyria, Babylon, Persian, Greek, Rome. That's six kingdoms. The seventh is Satan's kingdom. He wants to do another Tower of Babel. Well, what's going to unite us? The internet? What's going to unite us? I mean, technology? He has a system that he's going to implement using technology, I really do. So the beast and the false prophet. And you look at all these images in Revelations, you see a little bit about where he's headed. He is described, by the way, as a beast with seven heads and all these things. Well, what is Jesus Christ? He's a lamb. All right? It says that he has... 10 horns. What are 10 horns? Satan is an imitator. Alright? If you look in the mirror, my right ear actually appears over here. Right? You see your face, but you see an image of your face. But it's like it's changed sides. That's what Satan is. He's an imitator. He imitates God. The Lord says, you know, thou shalt not kill. He's a murderer. The Lord says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. What does he do? He has multiple gods. Diversity of gods. You know, all the different things we're seeing today with our gender and our roles being messed up and all are all getting us prepared for that one world government. And I believe that there is coming a day when we could lose cash. We could be faced with some more technology And we need to be ready. We really need to be ready, because there will be tribulations. We're not getting out of here. Why? Because 400 years before Jesus came on the scene, there was problems, there was troubles. That was travail of that woman giving birth to the child. Well, guess what? The next thing is Jesus Christ, after he saved the last person in the Lamb's Book of Life, he's coming back. To do what? To meet us in the air, to take those off the earth that's already died, and those that are alive will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we're gone. No more thousand-year reign. No more, this is it. He folds up the whole universe and melts it with a fervent heat. Can he recreate it? Yes. There won't be any sin in it, because Satan will have already been sentenced to the lake of fire, the fallen angels, and the non-elect, those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And they are the ones that receive the mark. So, brothers and sisters, I don't know what's going to happen. The reason why I don't know when the Lord's going to come back, because I don't know how long the book is. When that last person in the Lamb's Book of Life is born again, Jesus is coming back soon thereafter. There will never be another child of grace. So if every one of God's children died from that point forward, you'd have nothing but non-elect on the earth. I don't think we could survive very long with a bunch of non-elect on this earth. I really don't. We couldn't survive with a remnant. There's always been a remnant, and that's what my point is. There's always been a remnant on this earth. Abel was a remnant. Jesus Christ was a remnant. Mary was a remnant. John the Baptist. All these great patriarchs that we talk about. But we're remnant. Why? We're remnant in this church that worships God in spirit and truth. Okay? Seven crowns means, I believe, that he is over those kingdoms. Okay? He's really over those kingdoms that he tried to lead in rebellion against God. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Isn't that what Herod tried to do? Kill Jesus? Isn't that what Jesus tried to do when he tempted Jesus in after 40 days, after baptism, and he was anointed king? He entered into a 40-day fast, and then Satan appeared to him. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, change this bread stone into bread. I tell you what, Jesus, why don't you fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Jesus didn't do that. The Son of Man rejected that, for it is written. Had Jesus fell, the man, the humanity, Jesus Christ fallen, we would not have a Savior, and we would be going to eternal damnation. He survived that. But who's that third? I used to think it was the fallen angels, but I don't anymore. We have a third in us that Satan has drawn, our old nature, our flesh. Okay? Our new nature can't sin, so that's in good shape. Our body is redeemable at the second coming. So therefore, two-thirds of us is pretty good shape. The third that got drawn away by the red dragon, we live with every day, right? We're drawn away in the lust of our flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. So a third of us is prone to deny Jesus Christ. And the Peter, he says, I don't know him. Well, that was his third that was denying him. Because Satan had got him to be afraid and fearful. Wouldn't that story have been wonderful if the Lord said, yes, praise God, I know Jesus Christ. And no one heard him. And he went on to feed sheep and lambs. Isn't that amazing how we get caught up in fear? And even after the Peter, James, John, I believe, went back fishing. And they said, well, I guess that was an interesting 3.5 years. I guess we got to go back doing what we used to do, right? Well, then the Lord came and said, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Light bulb goes on and says, wait a minute, I guess I'm not supposed to be a fisherman anymore. And I'm to be a fisher of men. That's what we are to be. Every one of us, of God's children, are to be preachers. I'm not a pastor. I'm a preacher. You're a preacher. Everyone, man, woman, child, every one of us need to be leprosy that go back, the one leper that falls down on their face and praises Jesus Christ. But we still live with that leprosy inside in the old nature. Okay, so that third of us is still in us. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Didn't that describe the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ? Didn't he go to his throne? See, he was here for 3.5 year of ministry, but he was on the earth for 33.5 years. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Brothers, I don't know what that means. And in later, maybe we can figure it out. But I know that the Old Testament church was in a wilderness. And it had a wilderness tabernacle. All right? And it says in the Bible that the church is in a wilderness. We're in a wilderness. Is this not a wilderness of sin? So, it says the woman fled into the wilderness. The woman, the covenant grace, the grace covenant, the knowledge of how Jesus saves his people, a woman has had to be in a wilderness. We're in a wilderness. Brothers and sisters, most people, most of God's children do not like election. That's, to them, is a lie. But they're going to heaven not based on them being wrong about that, because God has saved them as one of the 9 lepers. But there's very few people who really know the truth on this earth, and it is our job to share that truth. Does that make sense? We're to be that one leper that falls on our face and declares how God saves his people. So we're in a wilderness. All right? And we fight. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Michael, I believe here, he is an actual angel. But I believe there's a passage of scripture that says that Michael is the archangel. And who is the... Michael is a warrior. Gabriel's a messenger. Is not Jesus Christ described in that? He's both a messenger and a warrior. And when was he a warrior? For 3 hours of darkness, when he fought sin and death and hell. And won. So we already have a victorious Christ. Many say that Revelations is about a future events. No, a lot of it's already occurred. But to transition between now and Jesus Christ coming back, it does talk about that. And it finishes with Revelation 21 and 22, which talks about a holy city. Today, this is a holy city. We're talking amongst the streets of gold and the river that flows out of the throne of God and the tree of life. But what happens if you go outside that city? You're in darkness with the dogs, the sorcerers, and the whoremongers. Stay away from the outer walls. Don't go outside but we do. We do, because our leprosy wants us to go outside and be in darkness and sin and live the way we want to live, right? So that here it is. The Genesis starts with the tree of life. Revelation 21, 22 ends with the tree of life. And there's a tree in the middle of crucifixion. Jesus is all through that Bible. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ in bodily, in the garden, given the first Adam the law of don't eat of the seed of, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the first Adam was with the last Adam. I can't prove that, but it does say no one seen the Father. So does that mean that Adam saw the Father? And besides, it said, let us make man in our own image. The Trinity was involved in that. So, you know, I just want to believe in my heart that Jesus Christ has been around a long time. Been in the burning bush. He's been everywhere. We have been visited so many times. But he was named when Mary was told, and he took on a body. Prior to that, he did not have a human body that could be touched. But he had to come and live as we are and die to his Father as a son of man, not the Son of God. The Son of God was not experiencing eternal damnation. The Son of Man in his humanity did. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I think that's a pretty good fight. So who's Michael? Jesus Christ. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Satan, by the way, has been restricted, I think, pretty much to this bottomless pit of the earth. And he has a chain on him so he can't unite the mankind and form a one world government. But it's coming. The one world government governance will be experimented with, and that's the seventh head. And he'll use the beast system and the religious system. If you look at Revelation 17, it talks about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. That's a religious system. The religions of this world are all embraced in that woman. And she's sitting on a scarlet beast, which I think is Satan. So Satan has multiple heads. God has one head. All you look at all the parallels between Satan and his attempts to overthrow God, and then you look at what Jesus Christ has done in the Holy Trinity, it's like, wow, Satan is really delusional, thinking he can pull this off. He's already defeated. His days are numbered. He's going to the lake of fire, along with the fallen angels. And it says in Revelation that when at the end of the 1,000 years, he's put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. It's been 2,000 years so far, because that's a number known only to God, that he would be loosed for a season to do what? To come against the camp of the saints about in that holy city. He's going to come against what we preach. This internet is going to be gone one day. We're not going to be able to preach it anymore, because why? We're going to be cut off. And all we have is ourselves to meet. All right? Satan hates the truth. And he's coming against the remnant, those that hold the truth and righteousness. And we'll read about that in a second. And that great... And verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. The kingdom of God's here right now. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of brethren, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of their lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. The covenant, covenant of grace, law covenant's over. Now we're under the covenant of grace. And by the way, it's the same woman. It's just that she's manifested in the Old Testament as the law. Now she's manifested as grace. Okay? He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood up after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with a remnant, the one leper that came back. Okay? Brothers and sisters, are we remnant? We need to be. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I love this image here, wings. Wings. Eagle represents something, an animal that rises to heaven in the physical realm or up in the sky. It has two wings. Not one wing, but two wings. Brethren, we need spirit and truth worship. All right? If we don't have spirit and truth worship, we're flying around in circles. You can't fly with one wing. You got to have two wings. And the wilderness is this world. And what is the flood? The flood is the religions of this world. So Satan, he cast out all of what he could at the woman, the covenant of grace, and formed all these denominations and all these these world powers in attempts. I mean, he's busy trying to get man to follow him. There's one problem. When the Jews left Egypt and went through the Red Sea, they weren't going back. We're not going back. We're born again. We can't. Our leprosy that crops up from time to time in the old nature will say, why don't we go back to Egypt? Well, for there we had pretty good food. Man, die, old nature. Crucify that thought. The lust of eyes, the lust of flesh, and pride of life. We need help. Satan has produced a flood of religion to occupy our old nature and to unite us in an effort to go against God. Does that make sense? We are in a wilderness, and we are the remnant. I want to close there and have us pray and ask God for help, because we need it. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for healing us, Father, of our leprosy and born in us again. Thank you, God, that you, in the fullness of time, sent your Son to die a spiritual death, burial, and he was resurrected by you, and then his body was laid in the ground and received another death and burial and resurrection. So, and each of those had an ascension. So 8 things have happened to the Son of Man, Lord, and 8 things will happen to us unless you come back, and we're alive when you come back. We're thankful for that. We ask that you help us to see our leprosy and fall on our face and worship you, and that we present ourselves to the world as cleansed lepers, ready to share the spirit and truth of your word and fly as eagles with wings in this wilderness world. We thank you, Father, that you would allow us to join ourselves in baptism, Father, by saying, as far as the church is concerned, Lord, that we baptize as a marriage ceremony. It has nothing to do with our eternal life. It's just an answer to a good conscience. So we ask that you would bless the hearing of the word and the seeing of the word, that you would help us to want to be a part of that remnant where the truth never dies on the face of earth. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. There will always be a remnant. There will always be one leper that comes and returns and falls on their face and thanks you for what you've done. We thank you for that. We ask that help in this nation, Lord. We're going a wrong way, Father. Help us, please, Lord. And I know, and based on these words that I've shared this morning, that the chains are going to be loosed from Satan, and a one world government could be coming and shortly coming. As those 10 horns, Lord, and commandments, thou shalt do this or that, and all of them are blasphemous against you, Lord. All of them deny you, Lord, and your kingship. Satan, you're finished. You're defeated. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will take you and put you in the lake of fire and the fallen angels, and I look forward to that day. I look forward to the third part of our being destroyed, our old nature, and that our new nature will rise to heaven and await the second coming of Christ and be resurrected. We thank you, Father, for that woman that we talked about today, that the covenant of grace, it used to be the covenant of law, but now it's the covenant of grace. And we thank you, Father, for what you've all done in saving all your people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, we reach out in love to every religion, every kindred, every tongue. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Those are man-made. Those are wilderness religions. But we're able to come, I hope, even though we may be one of the 9 and die, 9 lepers and die and go to heaven, I beg that more of the 1 leper out of 10 will come and truly worship you. So we ask that you bless the rest of the service. And Father, if someone wants to come and identify themselves in believer's baptism, that you had a death, burial, and resurrection to your Father, and that you were spiritually died to God the Father and then was raised physically after another death, burial, and resurrection, and that we join this body of believers that want to fly as eagles and worship Thee in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.